Father, I thank you, Lord, for the ability in these few moments that we have together to unlock something of eternal truth. I thank you, Lord, for the ability to reach into the area of people's hearts where there are questions, and they've come tonight looking for answers. I ask you to cause me to speak something that will have somebody in this sanctuary tonight know that God lives, because only God could have known what my question was tonight. Lord, I thank you for it with all my heart. In Jesus' name. Yeah, you know, we sang two songs tonight. As soon as I get home, I'm going to put on my robe. And, you know, we sing about a place that we're going to called heaven, a place where God is, a place where sin is not, a place where evil doesn't exist. The Bible tells us it's a place where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying. And it's an eternal place of never-ending revelation. By that I mean, the Bible says that suddenly our understanding will be unlocked, and it will be almost like an explosion of understanding in our minds, and we will understand mysteries. The Scripture says we will know even as God knows us. We will have an understanding almost immediately given to us. One of the old writers of antiquity said, it's as if you took a person who can't see, they can't hear, they can't smell, they can't taste, they can't feel, they have absolutely no senses whatsoever, no natural senses. You put them on top of the Empire State Building and snap your fingers, and suddenly all of their senses are opened. And they see, they hear, they can smell, they can taste, they can feel. And it would be a sensory explosion. He said, and that is only one millionth of what it will be like when we appear at the throne of God. And suddenly we have this explosion of knowledge. And also, we sang Meet Me, and that's the reason why we have a service like this tonight. That's the reason why God has brought you here, because we want you to be there. You know, ironically, my son-in-law used to be a rock musician, and before he came to Christ, and when he first started coming to this church, he thought that song was beep, beep, oh, beep, beep. And he thought it was like a New York commuting song or something like that. You know, when we go home, that's how we travel, you know, beep, beep, oh, beep, beep, and he said he loved it. He said, I thought it was a great song. He said, but I didn't have any idea what it was all about. The words are actually, meet me. Oh, meet me. You know, in case you did. I know there's people here that you're wondering, what were they saying tonight? It's meet me. Hallelujah. In the Bible, there's a story of a man called Peter. He was one of the initial 12 inner circle that followed Jesus. Now, he was a man who was headstrong. He was focused. He was a leader. He was self-willed. He was very self-confident. And at the moment in history where Jesus invited them to a final dinner together, and where he tried to tell them he was about to go to a cross, very hard for them to hear it, because every person, people don't mind religion, but they want religion that kind of centers around their own agenda. And everybody there had an agenda. He was trying to speak something, but people were not able to hear it. And that's kind of our dilemma. You know, you hear testimony after testimony after testimony in this pulpit on Sunday night of people who are raised in church, and God's been trying to speak, but they're not hearing. They're memorizing Scripture, but they're not hearing. He was telling them plainly, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they're going to crucify me. He's saying it straight, but nobody is hearing it. And while he's saying these things, while they're preparing this meal, while they are distributing the bread and the juice, which really represents, and he said it clearly, it's my body that's going to be broken for you. It's my blood that's going to be shed, because you have a condition called sin, which means you have a nature of death alive that lives in you, that was sown in you as a human race when your parents fell in the Garden of Eden. You think you can be God without God is the inherent problem of man. And he's telling them, because of this, you are barred, in a sense, from this presence of God that we sang about tonight, this eternal presence of God. You can't get in. There's a gate through which you can't pass. And he was saying, I have been sent of God the Father to go to a cross, to be nailed there, to pay the price for the wrong that you have done, so that you can come to that place. Not in your own strength, but in the mercy of what God has done for you through his Son. And so you think in the light of what he is speaking, there would have been some kind of a reverence or an awe or a humbling of themselves. But yet you look before and after most of these words and what was really going on there. The scripture tells us in Luke that there was an argument going on at the table as to who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine? I mean, he's going to a cross and they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest among them. That's human nature. We all have this thing that we want to be some great thing and do some great thing. And Jesus turns to Peter and he said, Peter, Satan has asked for permission to have you. He wants to sift you like wheat. And if you understand the way wheat was sifted in those days, basically they waited for a windy day. And they took it in this particular device and more or less threw it up in the air. And the wind would carry away that which had no weight. And so the hollow husks, as it is, would be carried away. And that which had weight would fall to the ground and remain there to be used. Satan himself knew that Peter was empty of enough substance and character. Yes, he was headstrong, fervent. He was a leader, he was self-willed, he was confident, but he was about to encounter an enemy that was too strong for him, too cunning for him. He himself said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be vigilant, be careful. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said, Satan wants to have you, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to throw you up and carry you away. He wants to infuse you with wrong thinking. He wants to cast you in the air and then carry you away into some place that's too far to ever return, some place where you're no longer usable or can't find your way back. But I prayed for you, he said, that your faith doesn't fail. And when you have been changed, when you have found the source of strength, when you have found what really is of lasting value, he said, strengthen your friends, your brethren. Give strength to others. Peter said after these words, he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you into prison and to death. In another gospel, he said to Christ, others may forsake you, but I never will. And there's something about all of us, isn't it, in all of us? Nobody heads out at 12 years old and said, I'm going to be a loser. I'm going to be the best loser this world has ever known. I'm going to fail. I'm going to run into the wall at 100 miles an hour. I'm going to destroy myself. No, none of us do that. We head out with an inner vision in a sense that we can be God without God, and we can kind of attach God to the side of our journey in some measure, and he'll somehow be there for us if we ever need him. Sort of like an insurance policy we tuck away in a box somewhere if we ever need it. We know where it is. And we head out to do our thing, and we want to be the best we can be. We head out to get a career, we head out to find a family, we head out to find a life partner, we head out to do all these things that we think are important in life. And we have an inner image of ourselves that others may do these things, but I will not. I've had so many people in this pulpit say, I never believed I'd ever end up in prison. I never believed I'd ever do what I did to my wife and to my children or to my husband and my family. I never believed I'd become the kind of a person that I actually became. I never thought that could ever happen to me. Our best efforts come up against an adversary that's too strong for us. An adversary that hates us. An adversary that wants to destroy everything created in the image of God. He knows that he's doomed. He knows that he has lost the battle. But he still is obsessed with wounding the heart of God by taking you and I, those things that are the closest to God in his heart, and by destroying us in a place of darkness forever. And that's a reality, folks. I told somebody recently, I said, this is one thing you can't afford to get wrong. You can get a lot of things wrong in life and get away with it, but you cannot get this one wrong. This one is forever. This one, when the books are closed, when the coffin lid closes on you, it's over. There is no second chance after that. There is no making a decision when you've refused to make one down here. Paul the Apostle said, I know what to do inside, but I don't know how to do it. And I find myself always doing the things I don't want to do. Do you ever find that? I don't want to speak that way. I don't want to act that way. I don't want to think this way. I don't want to be captivated by this. I don't want to be led this way. I don't want to be governed this way. I don't want to be doing this thing I'm doing. And Paul says, I know what I should be doing, but how? I don't know how. I've run into something outside and inside that's too strong for me. I can't get through this. I can't get the victory. And finally, in the book of Romans, he shouts out in exasperation. He said, who will deliver me from this death that works inside of me? He said, I perceive that there's an inner death working in me. Something that hates God. Something that does not allow me to do what my conscience tells me I should be doing. An inner working of death that is guiding me and destroying my life. I don't know how many times over the years, in those early years of my life, up till when I was 24 years of age, that I wanted to change. I didn't want to be doing the things I was doing. I wanted to be a good husband. I wanted to be able to raise my firstborn son at that time. Yet I was so selfish inside. I spoke words that I shouldn't have. I said things that made my wife cry. And I hated it. And I would say to myself, I'm not going to do that anymore, just to find myself doing it again the next day. Sometimes an hour later. You know what I'm talking about because you have gone there too. And I realized that inside of myself, I can't change, no matter how strong. I could free bar. I was weight training at the time. I would weight train almost 2-3 hours a day most days, and I could free bar a significant amount of weight, but I couldn't change myself. No matter how strong you get, you can't change yourself. I remember some of the guys in the weight club. I mean, they were huge, but they were chicken-hearted inside. They were like big chickens. They were all puffed up. Like a blowfish, you know, that thing that just goes. And so you can puff yourself up. You can do weights all day and you can get big. But if you're a chicken at heart, you're still a chicken, no matter how big you are, just a big chicken. You can't change what you are from the outside in. And so you come to the conclusion that I remember that I met another policeman who was a Christian. And he told me, he said, I used to be a drunk, and he said I was a gambler and a womanizer. And he said, I came to Christ, and my life changed. And he told me, he said, the Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. The old things in him lose their hold and die, and all things become new. He said, the Bible calls it being born again. Like born again by the Spirit of God. You were born a natural birth. But this is a spiritual birth. It's a rebirth. It's a reconnection to the divine. It's becoming everything that God ever intended us to be. And I was so taken by this thought. I was so captured by the thought. Now, I played my game. We all do, right? I came to everything's all. I'm doing fine without this. I don't need this. And inside, there's this little man screaming, you do, you need this. You know, we can't admit it, though. I mean, we've got to put up our front, and we've got to get suddenly. I wasn't even remotely religious, but I got very religious in our discussions. But I was very intrigued by this thought that this man's life had changed. Because what he told me he used to be, he was everything but. He was a family man. He obviously loved his wife and children. He was solid. He was stable. He was anything but the man he said he had been. And I was more intrigued by that than by anything else. Than even by the thought of heaven and hell or all the rest of it that is true. But the proof of it all, of the reality of God, was in the fact that he had become what he'd always wanted to be and longed to be and felt he should be. And he had become so when he failed to become that in his own strength and allowed God, through Jesus Christ, to become the Lord of his life. I was so moved by it. I read the Gospel of John. And when I read the Gospel of John, I began to see. It's as if the words started soaking off the page into my heart. And even though I was not saved when I was reading it, I could see it was true. And I came to the point that eventually Peter came to, where Peter just hit the wall, where Peter's strength failed, where Peter realized, I can't do this in my own strength. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. We finally came to the end of himself. And some go farther than others. I thank God this happened when I was only 24. Some people go a long way, but I tell you, everybody bites the dust eventually. Everybody comes to the end of natural strength. Everybody comes to the realization, oh God, there's got to be more to life than what I've been living. There's got to be a deeper reason for why I've been created than how I have spent my time in my life. There's got to be more to life than this. This can't be it. And finally, Peter came to the end and he wept bitterly. And it was at that point that he remembered the words of Jesus. Satan has desired to have you, to destroy you, but I have prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. Your faith in what? Not in yourself, your faith in the fact that there's somebody else going to a cross to pay the price for your sin, the wrong that you have done. Somebody else is taking your place so you can go free. Somebody else is destroying the power of the devil over you. Somebody is opening your prison door. Somebody is giving sight to your blinded eyes. Somebody is pouring out oil into your wounded heart. Somebody is promising you a life that can only come from God. And it's by faith, Peter. It's by faith. It's not by human effort. It's not by religious observance. It's by faith in a finished work on a cross 2,000 years ago that you can rise up and become the person that God intended you to be. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And Jesus said, Peter, when you have found this strength, give it to others. Tell others about it. Strengthen your brethren, Peter. When you have found the source of God and God's strength, tell others about it. That's what I'm doing tonight. That's what the testimonies have been about. That's what the songs are about in this house. That's what everything is about. That's why you're here tonight. It's to hear about the strength and the future, an incredible future, an awesome, awesome future. And we're talking about forever now. Forever. When the lid closes on your coffin, my friend, if you know Christ, it's all just starting. It's not ending. It's only the beginning. And while we live on this earth, God says, I'm going to break everything in you that has made you into what you shouldn't be and taken you where you shouldn't go. And I'm going to create a new life, a new heart, and a new mind within you. And I'm going to take you and I'm going to make you into a person that's going to be the delight of your heart as well as the heart of God. My goodness sakes, man, I wish I could take you on a panoramic journey. The last about 36 years of my life. It has been an amazing journey. It has been a miraculous journey. It has been an astounding journey. I wish to God I had, as the writer once said, I had 10,000 tongues to tell you about it. I wish I could put it in a panoramic view. I wish I could tell you about the miracles. I wish I could fully explain the changes that have happened inside. I can honestly tell you, the man that I was died, and a new man was born. That's a fact. And the journey has been miraculous. I've been everywhere. I spoke in the Pentagon 2 months ago. I remember standing there thinking, how did I get here? I have no skill whatsoever. All these guys with stars and stuff. I have no skill whatsoever to be here. And so I just do what I always do. I just go into the book and say, God, I don't know what to do here. Give me a word. And he does, and I speak it. People cry. The chief of police was in tears. He was brokenhearted in the front row. I've never had the skill to do what I do. It's been awesome. I've been in Hindu-Muslim prison. I've been in Kosovo speaking to Islamic soldiers. I've been in Africa in war-torn areas of the world. I was in speaking to people in India. It's amazing. The message never changes. Here's the message. What Jesus did for me, Jesus can do for you. It's no deeper than that. Goodness sakes, man. I had a university recently offer me a doctorate degree. You know that? I turned it down because, you know, there's always a danger. You'll start thinking you're something. Dr. Conlon. No, just me. Always will be just me. It's Jesus. It's Christ in us who's the hope of glory. We're all just nothing that God has become everything to. He fills us. He saves us. And he takes us places we could never go. He makes us into what we could never be. He gives to us what we could never, ever get in our own strength. And he gives us a testimony of himself in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, Paul said. It's not anything we've done or will do or are. It's all Jesus. Without Jesus, we would be, goodness sakes, man, looking out at you tonight, what a mess this would be without Jesus. All of us, every one of us. What a mess we would be. What a song we would be singing. It would be incredible. You just stop and think about it. Those who know Christ tonight, what would you be without God tonight? Where would you have gone? What would you look like? What would you be singing? What would you be wearing? Where'd you be hanging out tonight? Guarantee you wouldn't be here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Hallelujah. All we can do here tonight is on God's behalf tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only way to eternal life in God. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. He made it restrictive. It is restrictive and it is exclusive. And I can't apologize for that because that's what he said and that's who he said he is. But I have to trust tonight as we speak and our testimonies are given and our songs are sung that somehow there's an inner witness of God that what you're hearing is right. I had that witness at 24 years of age. I saw Muslim soldiers after the Kosovo War. I saw the tears on their faces as they heard something they'd never heard before, but there was an inner witness that it was right. They had a witness. I saw men in a Hindu-Muslim prison come to Christ, tears down their faces, never having heard this ever in their lifetime, finding themselves in prison and not knowing how to get out. Everything around them had failed them. Suddenly finding out that even if they never get out of jail, they can be free. There's a freedom that's got nothing to do with being in or out of prison. All I can do, all we can do tonight is just open it up to you. But the choice is yours. What do we do with Jesus Christ? Do we buy a plastic cross of him and put it on the wall of our house and say, okay, that's the Jesus I will have in case I need him? Do we come to church just once in a while to kind of pacify our conscience and more or less put him on the side of our lives and say, if I ever need you, I know where you are or I know where to come to? Or do we do what the calling of God is and finally come to the realization that I can't get into heaven nor be the man or woman I'm intended to be without a living relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you ask me tonight, how does that happen? How does it happen? You open your heart to this truth. And you say these simple words in your heart, I can't save myself. I don't have the power to get to heaven on my own. The gate is barred. I can't possibly declare myself sinless, and only that which is sinless can live in the presence of God. God is purely holy, and nothing of sin can go into his presence. That is clearly defined in Scripture, so I'm barred by reason of who I am. If you think you're sinless tonight and you're not a Christian, then you have succumbed to the sin of mental delusion. That means you've never told a lie, you've never thought a lustful thought, you've never stolen a dime. Because once you've done any of these things, that means that you're a liar and a thief and everything else. Once you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the gate is barred. There's only one way through that gate. Opening our heart to the one who paid the price for the wrong that we have done. An innocent man died for me, folks. And I remember when I first started to understand that, how it really affected my heart. An innocent man. He'd never done one thing wrong in the sight of his father. And he was beaten in my place. And he took my penalty upon him and suffered the rejection of God on my behalf. God had turned his face away from him. We can't even understand the depth of that because they'd never been separated. And he did it because he loved me. Did it because he wanted me. And so it only requires that I open my heart and say, I can't save myself. I thank you for dying for me. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. I believe. When I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith doesn't fail, that you don't come to the point of this understanding and yet your faith fails. You come right to the threshold of eternity and you just say, it can't be that easy. Can't be that simple. And your faith fails. And you fail to take that step over the threshold into something that is divine. Jesus said, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith doesn't fail. And when you've made that step, and when you've finally given up on yourself, and when you've come into the life of God, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen those that are around you. Strengthen your family. Strengthen your friends. Thank God, Peter had the sense to make that decision. I was 24 years old, and hard as a stone inside. Selfish to the core of my being. Self-focused, angry, and I was drinking way too much. My friends were concerned about me. There was something inside of me that was just melting down. I was putting on a good face, looked good in my uniform, did my job, but I was melting down inside. Something was dreadfully wrong. I didn't want to be married. I didn't want to have a child. I knew it was wrong, but I was powerless to change what I was. And it was May the 12th, 1978, at 3:40 in the afternoon. I'll never forget. I was on the way to work, and I pulled my car off on the side of the road. And I just prayed this prayer, Lord Jesus, if this is true, if what my friend is telling me is the truth, if you are the Son of God and you did die for me, and if there is a promise of eternal and new life, then I open my heart to you and I ask you to be my Lord and I ask you to be my Savior. I went to work. I didn't feel a thing, nothing. I didn't feel different. A lot of people think you got to have a warm fuzzy after you pray. I didn't feel anything, nothing. Didn't feel any change at all. Went to work. I worked my regular shift. Didn't feel different working my shift. I forgot I had prayed it. Went home that night, went to bed. And many of you who attend this church, you've heard this 100 times, and you're going to hear it 1,000 times more before you're done. But I tell you, the next morning I got up, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember it like it was this morning. I got up, I rolled over, and I put my feet on the floor, and I knew I was a different man. Now, I can't tell you how I knew, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God, when God's Spirit comes to live inside of us, He bears witness that we are the children of God, and we start crying, Abba, Father. We start calling God our Father. Not somebody who's way out there trying to get a hold of us, but somebody who's found us. I don't know how. I don't know how. But I knew. I didn't have the theology, but I had the experience. He had taken my if. That's all I could get out is an if. And he had taken my if, and it was good enough because it was a very sincere if. And I remember that same day, my little boy, he had a green sleepers on, little one-piece sleepers. He was, I forget how old he was at the time, maybe not a whole lot more than 8 or 9 months, I guess. And it had a Spanish saying. It had two little dogs, and it said, Que cosa se dice a un gato, whatever that means. I hope it's nice. I hope it's okay, what I just said. I think it says, what does a dog say to a cat or something like that, anyway. And he had this thing on, and I sat him between two cushions, and I was looking at my son, the son that I had really fought to want to be a father to. And my heart was suddenly filled with a love, and I wrote a song for him. I wish I had a guitar. I'd play it for you tonight, if I can remember it. I will. One Sunday night, I will. It's called And If We Trust in the Lord Jesus and place our hearts within His loving hands, all fear of loss will be to no more. We'll walk upon the endless shores of His love and live within the promised land. That was day one of walking with God. He put a new song. David said, He puts a new song in my heart. And many will see it and fear and begin to trust in God. I'd never sang a song like that in my whole life. It was theologically correct, even though I didn't know theology. I've sung that song many times over the years. I'd sing in coffee houses and stuff like that, and people would hear it and cry. And it was the day one song of my first day of walking with God. Everything didn't change overnight, and it doesn't. I won't make you that promise, but it does change. If you have a rotten tree growing in your yard and you inject the root of it, the base of it with poison, it will still look like it has fruit, but it will lose the power to keep that fruit, and the fruit will begin to die, and eventually the tree dies. And when Christ comes into our life, my wife says it this way, He doesn't come in as a tenant, He comes in as an owner. And He renovates the house. And being married to her, I really know what that means. I have no power to hang a picture in my own home. I finally have yielded. I'm broken. And I just go with the flow. And that's the way it is as a Christian. We just let God do what He wants to do. We don't try to add to it. We don't try to take away from it. We don't try to put our opinion on it. We just say, Lord, this vessel is Yours. You want to send me to the Pentagon? I'll go to the Pentagon. Whatever You want to do, I'll do that. Wherever You call me, I'll go. And what You ask me to be, I believe I can be. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The psalmist David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I said it a couple of weeks ago, I can take you to the finest restaurant in New York City, and I could have been there myself, and I could stand you outside, and I could read you the menu, and I could describe the steaks and the chicken and the pastas and all that stuff. I could describe it to the point where your mouth will water. But until you taste it, you really don't know how good it really is. You have to go into the restaurant, you have to sit down, and you have to order it for yourself. And you have to be willing to pay the price of yielding your pride and admitting that you can't cook it yourself, you can't get it yourself, you have to just sit there and let it be brought to you, and you have to partake of it. That's what this is all about tonight. I want to encourage you tonight to open your heart, young and old. It doesn't matter. You might be sitting here tonight saying, and this is your question, my life is wasted. You see, you don't get it, Pastor. I'm 65 years old, and I'm 66, and my time has passed. No, it hasn't. That's a lie. That's a lie. You can do more in 5 minutes of the Holy Spirit than 50 years of living in the flesh. If you're a young person just starting out and you've got this vision of, you know, your life before you, why not save yourself the heartache of going all those years and finding out it was a dead end right from the beginning? There really is no eternal life there. And the life of God is not found in it. Even though it may give you some pleasure, there's still the life of God is not in it. And at the end, eternity is not part of it. Tonight, I beg you, in Christ's place, I beg you, please, my brother, my sister, open your heart to Jesus Christ and let him come in and be the Lord and the Savior of your life. He'll take you with the little bit of faith that you have. It might be so small, it's just a speck down a long, dark tunnel, but it's still enough. That's all it takes. Just a little bit of faith in the faithfulness of God. And you let that come into your heart and begin to pray with me tonight. And it will be the beginning of something that up to this point was only a dream. It wasn't something you thought could ever happen or you could ever be. But I promise you, if you open your heart to Jesus Christ, a year, 2 years from now, you'll be sitting in a house, in this one or one like it, and you'll say, I never would have dreamed that my life could ever become what it has become. I never could have thought that I could be what I am. I never felt that I could go back and reclaim what was lost because of my own mistakes. But that's who God is. Tonight, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand wherever you are? Just join me. God bless you all over. Thank you. God bless you. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to stand and sing one or two songs for just a moment. And if you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand and you know it, you're sitting here and your heart's pounding. You say, oh, God, I never anticipated I'd be brought to this point. I came here just because I heard it was a good choir. And now my heart's pounding, and I have a sense that God is asking me to do something like I've never done. This is like going into another dimension. I don't fully get this, but I know it's right. You need to come. And we're not going to ask you to do anything foolish. We're just going to pray together. That's all. Just a prayer. You're going to open your heart and let Jesus be the Lord of your life. And then we're going to thank God for you tonight. If you brought somebody with you tonight, you should turn to that person when we stand and say, if you want to go down and you're afraid to, I'll go with you. Maybe even a stranger that's beside you. Say, look, does this apply to you? Would you like to go forward? Some people are just scared. This is New York. I mean, just nobody does anything like this in New York, not as far as I know. They don't even talk to people in elevators around here. It's just it was strange when I first came here. I'm from Canada originally. I get in an elevator. I'm very Canadian. I say, hi, how y'all doing? And it was like, everybody just all of a sudden freezes, and they stare at the numbers on the thing. I thought, wow, these people are weird in this place. You know? So I realize it's hard to do this. It's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to step out and just like admit in a sense that I need something other than myself. But you won't regret it. And so we're going to stand, and when we do, if you'd like to receive Christ Jesus as your Savior, just come. Just come, we'll pray together. And we're going to believe God for a miracle for you tonight. A miracle. The same miracle he gave me and gave others, he'll give to you. Let's stand, please, if you will, and we'll just sing a couple of songs. I'm going to ask you to slip out and just come. Please, just come down to the front, and we'll meet you here. Meet me. Hallelujah. from the balcony, go to either exit in the annex. You can come forward. We'll wait for you from the annex. Just come down and follow these folks that are coming now. God bless you. God bless you. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What you're about to do is, it's a supernatural thing. You're going to open your heart to God. God says, when you do, I will come. And I will begin to be God to you and in you. And I will show you that I'm God because I will change you. I'll change you from the inside out. And you'll become a different person than you are. And you will become a testimony of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. He is the Son of God. His word is true. The things I'm telling you tonight, you'll be telling others. And not too long from now, you'll be telling people, I just got to tell you how. They'll ask you, well, how did this happen to you? You don't curse like you used to. You've changed. You're smiling a lot. You used to be always down. What happened to you? And you're going to tell them what I told you tonight. Well, I just opened my heart and God came. And he gave me the life that I now have. And he promised that when I die, that a place that he lives in called heaven is going to be my home forever. He said he would break the power of evil in my life. And he has. He's begun to do that. And so I have a future. And really, it's no more complicated than that. You'll learn a lot of stuff about God over the years, but don't let that simplicity ever be taken away from you, because that's the foundation on which it all sits. I want to ask you to pray this little prayer with me, and just make it your own. It's just a prayer to help you tonight to know how to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for wanting me, and for loving me. Thank you for dying for me and for paying the price so that I could go free. Tonight, I take that step called faith, and I open my heart to you, and I give you my life. I know in my heart that you won't abuse me. And you won't betray me. And you won't let me down. That your promises to me are true. I believe that. I believe that you will cleanse me. You'll make me clean from the wrong I've done. And give me a new life. You'll forgive my wrong. And when I die, that heaven will be my home. Because you paid the price. Help me to live in such a way that you will be honored through my life. Pick me up when I fall and strengthen me where I'm weak. From this day forward, Jesus Christ, Son of God, you are my God and I am your child. I will live for you and walk with you, and I will trust you all of my days. Thank you for receiving me. I believe that as of this moment, I am a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't worry about the tears. You just let them come. That's an awesome feeling. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. You let the Lord do that. Oh, Jesus, thank you for that young man, Lord. Thank you, God, for freedom. I pray, Lord, make this young man an evangelist. God, I ask you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to come on him. God, from this day forward, Lord, give him the faith of a lion. Give him courage, God, and a word, Lord, for others. As you set him free, give him the courage to call back to those who are still behind him, Lord. God, use him for your glory. Father, I thank you for this with all my heart tonight. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you.